Good morning.
Good morning.
So good to see each of you in worship this morning. If I could draw your attention to our bulletin, we have several announcements listed there. I will not mention all of those. Also, if you could draw attention to the pew pads located at the end of your pew, we invite members and guests alike to take that, jot your name down. We would just like to get a record of your attendance. After you've done that, pass it to the next person. Once everybody's filled that out on your row, if you could pass it back down to the center of the aisle, we'll pick those up later on following the service today. A few announcements I have to mention to you. The church office is closed tomorrow. Due to that, there will be no morning Bible study, Miss Mary said, for the group of ladies and gentlemen that gathered down there. But you will resume the study on the Beatitudes next Monday. So don't forget to read up, prepare for that. Also, this afternoon, there will be no musical rehearsals today. They will contact the people who are not here. I heard the planning going on. So there's no rehearsals this afternoon today. Also, this week is our College Parkers, our senior adult gathering that happens. I was told we're supposed to be here at 11 o'clock to have your food on the table, and then we'll start at about 11:30. So don't be late or you'll be left out, is what I was told. Also, we're excited to have the Glory Street Quartet with us this Thursday. It'll be a great time of fellowship together as they share with us the music they have prepared. Today is Deacon Ordination Day. It's the time in which we install our elected deacons and ordain new deacons. We're excited to have guests with us that are here for that. And we're excited to ordain and install these deacons that are here that have been willing to serve our church. And so thank you for joining us today. Our ushers now are going to come down the aisle. If you're a guest with us today, whether that's just a visitor for the first time or due to deacon election and installation, we just want to welcome you to the church. We don't want to call you out or embarrass you. But as they pass you by, just invite you to slip up your hand. We just want to give you a little information about who we are as a church and how we do things. Inside, there is a letter from our pastor just letting you a little bit, to let you know a little bit more about him. Also inside is a church newsletter we call The Highlights. That has all the activities and ministries going on in the life of the church for the month of probably January. We'll be putting out another one of those shortly. One other announcement I do want to mention is near and dear to my heart. We do have our youth, junior-senior retreat leadership team that's away this week. We need to remember them in our prayers. They'll be returning tomorrow. And so please pray for Jeff and the adults that are chaperoning those guys as they're away preparing and talking about how to help lead the group, but also how to help lead our church and how to help be servants in their own communities in which they live and participate in. But it's a great day to be in God's house. I thank you for worshiping with us today. That's all the announcements I have. Let's join our hearts together in prayer. Pray with me if you would. Father, we thank you. We thank you for giving us life and the ability that we have to wake up every day and to live for you, to be servants. Father, today as we install deacons, as we ordain deacons, Father, we thank you for doing all of that long before we've noticed it. God, thank you for calling us to be a part of your work. Let us worship you, but also, Father, let us all serve you as it's our responsibility. In your name we pray. Amen.
Come to God, receive his blessing.
If you would notice in your bulletin, we have a responsive reading, a call to dedication for each and every one of us. I will read the light print, invite you to join me on the dark print. I do want you to notice some of those share on the same line. It's not as normal custom for us. So pay attention. I will read the light print, invite you to join me on the dark print. Humbly in your sight, we come together, Lord.
Thank you for the blessing of your presence here.
These, our hearts, are yours.
We give them to you, Lord. Purify our love to make it like your own.
These, our eyes, are yours.
We give them to you, Lord. May we always see your world as with your sight.
These, our hands, are yours.
We give them to you, Lord. Give them strength and skill to do our work for you.
These, our feet, are yours.
We give them to you, Lord. May we walk along the path of life with you.
These, our tongues, are yours.
We give them to you, Lord. May we speak your healing words of life and truth.
These, our ears, are yours.
We give them to you, Lord. Open them to hear your words of guidance.
Our whole selves are yours.
We give ourselves fully to you, Lord. Take us now in service to you forevermore.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Well, we find ourselves a couple of weeks into the new year. Did you make any New Year's resolutions? Many folks find that the first of the year is an opportunity to make some needed changes. They desire a new life. Unfortunately, by February, well over 90% of these resolutions are broken and discarded. Folks resign themselves to another year of the same old, same old. Now, it's not my intent to knock New Year's resolutions. But, as Christians, we don't have to wait for a date on the calendar to make a decision to find a better way, that new life. Through our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, we can make that decision any month, any day, any hour. And when we stumble, we can reaffirm our desire for that new life in Christ right then. No waiting necessary. What an incredible blessing.
Let us pray. Father, we love you. We give thanks for your love for us, which you demonstrated by sending your Son to show us the way for a new eternal life with you. Help us to recognize how very fortunate we are. Please give us the wisdom, the courage, and the humility to accept this opportunity. We're especially thankful that it's not a one-time invitation. You know that we will continually fall short, but you are always there if we will only turn to you and surrender our life to your will. Forgive us when we take this greatest gift for granted. We ask that you continue to bless this church and its congregation. We're thankful for such a caring place to come worship you. We thank you for all the blessings of life, the opportunity to share them with others. We pray for the leaders of our country, guide them in thy will. And we especially pray for the members of our armed services, both home and abroad. Protect them as they protect us. We ask these things in your name. Amen. Thank you.
want to pause as the congregation right now. We've got a situation. One of our members, Jim, is having just a little bit of trouble in the back, and they're going to be bringing him out to get him some medical care. This is a natural part of community life and being together. These things happen, and we didn't want to embarrass him or anything like that, but we want to make sure we get him the best care that he can get right now. So if you would just sit silently. Teresa's going to continue to play in an attitude of prayer and worship, and then when we get this resolved, then we'll continue on with our installation ordination, okay? Thank you for your patience in that. We think it's going to be fine, but we're just going to make sure, right? Just going to make sure. We come to a time in the life of our congregation which is unique somewhat for churches because we have the opportunity as a congregationalist form of church polity as a Baptist church to elect those that we call our servant leaders, our deacons. And this morning, we are going to go into a time of installation and ordination. But as we begin that, we also want to say words of thank you. Thank you for those who are completing their service. And I want to invite Jim Purnell, who served as our chair of deacons this year, if he would come up and say a word of thank you and recognition of those who are completing their three-year service at this point. And in case y'all didn't get the memo, Jim and I got the one. If you got black and purple, wear it, dude. Black and purple.
Before I recognize the outgoing deacons, I would like to say a word of thanks to several people for their assistance, their love and prayers through this year. To all you members of College Park, to Sunday school teachers, committee chairmen, committee members, thank you. To the ministerial staff, to Raymond Smith. Raymond has been a constant support, a mentor, a spiritual guide, and friend. Thank you, Raymond. To all those who have constantly kept the deacons informed of issues and have graciously attended deacons' meetings, we thank you. To Rusty Rose, who served as vice chairman, and Julie Blink, who served as secretary, I thank you. To all the 2017 deacon board, thank you. You're servants of God and faithful examples of believers in Jesus Christ. After our deacons serve a three-year term as deacons, they're termed inactive. It's my contention that inactive in this case is pretty much a misnomer. All deacons are active in church work, even though they may not be currently serving on the deacon board. I'd like to recognize those deacons who are completing their active service. Please stand as I call your name. Joseph Alexander, Jeremy Caldwell, Michael Groover, Ken Hatchett, Terry Leffler, Rusty Rose. To all six of you who are completing your three-year term on the deacon board, I say thank you. It's been an honor serving with you. Yes, and you can applaud. And I hope you enjoy your term of inactivity as you continue to serve as committee chairman, RA leaders, Sunday school teachers, prayer partners, greeters, ushers, servers, choir members, and deacon family representatives. Enjoy it. To you, I'd like to read from Philippians 1:1-6. To all saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. Again, thank you. You may be seated.
We have others who are going to be installed today, two of which you will hear from, the other two not today, but that's okay. I'll explain that in just a minute. But to introduce those who are being newly installed, I'll ask our chair of deacons for the year 2018, Russell Tal, if he would come.
Hi, folks. I will be introducing to you those deacons whom you elected this past election opportunity to be installed that have already been previously ordained. And I will ask each deacon to stand when I call their name. And, hey, face the studio audience. Go for it. Turn around so they can see you. Kent Hobson. Brad Jones. Karen Leffler. Steve Loftus. Here they are, folks. Thank you, and please be seated.
Two of those we are going to ask to come in just a minute, but before we do that, let me introduce to you those that are being ordained today. They were elected by you to serve as deacon, but have not gone through the formal process of ordination, and today they are going to carry through with that. Michael Gaskins, if you would stand, please. And Phil Roberts, if you would stand. Thank you, fellas. We'll get to you, have an opportunity to speak in just a moment. You can be seated for the time being. But what we're going to do at this point is Brad Jones and Steve Loftus. Brad served as deacon here, and I'll let him tell you about that in years past, but because it had been several years since he was here as a part of active in this congregation, we asked him if he would come just kind of bring us up to date in his journey. Steve Loftus is an ordained minister. As such, we felt no need to ordain as a deacon, but he'll tell you a little bit about his journey, and he'll follow Brad. Following Steve, Michael will come as someone to be ordained today and share a little bit about his spiritual journey with you. And then Phil Roberts will wrap up the spoken words from our deacons this morning. So at this point, Brad, if you would come, please.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name's Brad Jones. I'm the dean of the graduate school at Wake Forest. And if you want to learn about being a servant, you should try that job for a little while. Raymond wanted me to tell you briefly about my spiritual journey. I feel like I know many of you, but I'm happy to bring you up to date, and I'll start at the very beginning. I was born into a Methodist family. All of my family's Methodist. I was the only one to leave. When I tried to think of another member of my family who left the Methodist Church, I couldn't come up with one. So I was christened as a baby. I went to Sunday school, often put my quarter in the collection plate. I was in Methodist Youth Fellowship. I was even in the youth choir, but I didn't sing by mutual consent, just to be part of that body. I did all the classes that were required to become a member of the Methodist Church, and I want you to know that it's much easier just to be baptized than to go through all those classes. In 1983, I found myself engaged to a young lady who was a Baptist. So I joined the Baptist Church. I was baptized in her home church in Thomasville, North Carolina, our hometown. And that's paid dividends ever since. My mother-in-law just adores me, and I think it all began with that. So I'm very thankful for Melanie and her family. Shortly after becoming married, we moved to Gainesville, Florida, while I was in graduate school, and we joined this small little church in Gainesville called Westside Baptist Church. Small church, but while we were there, it grew tenfold, and we were only there 5 years. So every year, it got one of these awards from the Southern Baptist Convention. It was an eagle statue that meant you were one of the fastest-growing churches in the country, and it's even larger now. And we haven't actually been back, but we've seen the building that it's in now. It's amazing. I moved back to Winston-Salem in 1989 when I was appointed on the Faculty of Chemistry at Wake Forest, and we looked only a couple of weeks for churches, and we found this one. And before we joined this small new class called the Homesteaders. It was a class that Wes and Barbie Morgan had begun, and we met lots of good friends there. Shortly thereafter, it became known as Theophile, or Lovers of God, or More Than One Theophilus. And that's who we were, and we met couples there. It was a time in my life, as I look back, that I was closest to God. I like to think I'm close now, but I was really close then. You probably know some of the people who are in that class. Charles and Amy Crabb, Keith and Joy Minster, the Farmers were there. The other Joneses, Charlie and Kim were there. The Butendorfs and the Blinks. We just had really close relationships in that class. We learned about God. And we grew a lot of babies, lots of babies in that class. So that was a wonderful time for us. I was leader of RAs for probably 8 years with Charlie. I was on many committees like most of you are. I was on the deacon ballot several times, was eventually elected, and served 2 terms. Then in the early 2000s, we found we had 4 children, only 3 bedrooms. So we built a house in Davie County. And as our children grew, it became more and more difficult to have them be involved at College Park because it was a 30-minute drive. So reluctantly, we joined another church. We joined First Baptist Moxville. And while there, Melanie and I led a college class modeled after Russell Talley and Kathy Chinlin. Sometimes we'd have 0, sometimes we'd have 8 present. Almost always we'd have snacks, and we'd have a lesson prepared. I became a deacon there. I was chairman of the deacons there for a while. I was on the personnel committee. A few years later, we moved to a smaller church called Hillsdale Baptist in Advance. I was an elder there. I even did the occasional stand-in for the preacher. So I did an occasional sermon, and they got what they paid for when I did that. Then it got to the point where our youngest child was no longer involved in youth. And Mel and I had always listened for the call, and we never felt like we were called away from College Park. So we came back. We hightailed it back, like the prodigal family. And I have to say that you guys were like the prodigal father with the robe and the fatted calf. And so we feel at home like we never felt anywhere else. We're glad that our path is here and that you're on it with us. So I would say in ending that my walk with God has been a winding path. It's been a long one. Sometimes I felt close, like in that small Sunday school class, sometimes distant, sometimes frustrated, sometimes angry, sometimes happy, sometimes unbelievable joy, always in love with my Savior. And so I'm glad to be back. I'm glad to be in this position. I'm just thankful that you have trust in me, because I don't have that in myself sometimes. And I'm glad we can walk the path together. Thank you.
I'm Steve Loftus, and you all have heard from me before. We asked Raymond, Brad and I did, on Wednesday night about time and length. He just said he wanted us to speak briefly, and it's a dangerous thing to give a pastor a pulpit to stand in. You're a brave soul. So, my watching the choir eyes are gone now. I don't have to do that anymore. I was raised in a Baptist family, a strong Christian family. We were always a part of church. My father was a deacon of the church. My mother was the church musician. They did Vacation Bible School and WMU and all of those wonderful things. And by the time I was reaching first grade, Dad had responded to the call to ministry. And on the day that he had gone to a little bitty church in Wade, North Carolina, to do his trial sermon, I was sitting with my grandmother. And while my mother sat at the piano and played, and someone else led the music, and it was on that day that I made my profession of faith. Dad baptized me in that small church down in Cumberland, North Carolina, and may have been one of his first, a young child. We were preacher's kids. Before we were preacher's kids, we were deacon's kids, and I'm not sure which one of those is the worst to have to be with. We'll ask my children later when this all comes out. But we were raised in church. Dad and Mom both have served as deacons in their churches. Dad is a pastor, as a missionary, as a director of missions, and then back to pastoring again, and now as a deacon. So the circle has looped around for him. We've known nothing but church. Church is what we do every Sunday. It's who we are. It's unnatural for us not to be in worship somewhere. It's unnatural for us not to be a part. And I've known this kind of life. When I was in high school, I sort of had a yearning towards knowing that I'd be serving. And like Brad, I got the chance to serve as a RA leader and as a high school student. My senior year in high school, as I finished up and was graduating, I went to work in my first formal ministry position as a youth minister, youth worker, in a very small mission center on the edge of Fort Bragg. Very dilapidated place, a slummy place, a difficult, a scary place. The police didn't even come in at night. And we ministered there. And every summer while attending Wake Forest, I would go home and work as a summer youth corps worker in different places of ministry within that association. And during the summer of 1981, just before returning back to Wake, I'd already declared as a religion major, mostly because it was really easy for me. And I loved Dr. Horton. And Dr. Talbert was pretty good, too. I realized that God was calling me to ministry. And as I said earlier this morning, I thought that was to a full-time youth ministry. And it changed as life goes on. I went to work at Peace Haven Baptist, was licensed by Knollwood Baptist here in Winston in the fall of 1981, and by the fall of 1982 had responded to God's call as I went on to seminary and then asked for ordination from Peace Haven. Was ordained there in 82 as I served at Peace Haven from 82 to 85, and when I graduated went into doing some social ministries work, church and community ministry work in the Fayetteville area. Found my first pastorate, and then pastored churches for the next 30-plus years. It has been my joy to work as a pastor. It has been my headache to work as a pastor at times. He's never known that, I'm sure. But it has always been a place of service. I've served from the pastoral side with lots of boards of deacons. I'm looking forward to and anticipating with great joy and excitement serving with all of you on this board of deacons, serving with you, Raymond, and supporting the ministries of this church, serving you as we serve each other, as we serve God. Thank you for entrusting us with this and honoring us, and may we serve God and honor Him as we work together. Thank you, and God bless you.
Good morning. Just to reintroduce myself, my name is Michael Gaskins. My wife is Jordan, and our kids are Logan, who's 16 now, and he's with Jeff up in down over in Tennessee. Bennett and Grayson. Bennett's 4, Grayson's 2. And we've been coming to College Park now for about 6 years. I've been a member here for a little over a year now. And the story behind how we found College Park was in January 2012, Jordan and I were looking for another church or a church to go to, and we ended up in a parking lot of one nearby here, 9 o'clock, and for some reason we didn't walk in. Don't know why, but we just didn't go in there. So we came, we drove around the neighborhood, came down Polo, and pulled in here, and it was about 9:30. The reason I remember this, I'll get to in a second, but The service that morning was at 10 o'clock. And by then, you guys had started doing the 9 o'clock and 11 o'clock. And coincidentally, it was at 10 o'clock. It was a blended service. So luckily, we were able to find the church at a 10 o'clock service. The first person to introduce himself to me was Mr. Bob Doty. And I grew close to him very quickly because he introduced himself every week and talked to me very often. And I got to spend some time with him on Saturday mornings at Bible study, and just a great man. With that being said, I'd like to thank my Lord Jesus Christ for gifting me with endurance, strength, and patience and pointing me towards this church. My spiritual journey is far from over, and I know that. To go back some history here, I was baptized in a little church in eastern North Carolina called Free Will Baptist. And what I remember about that day was I was 12. I remember the water being really chilly, and I remember being very afraid. It was a small congregation, but it was very important to me at that point. And that's the day that Jesus entered my heart. My family brought me up right. They were educated me on the Bible and taught me how important it was to go to church, be active in the youth. And even as a small church, I built a family there. Moving forward here, I was a firm believer. Well, I am a firm believer in Sunday school. My spiritual foundation was built in Sunday school. My grandmother, my mother, my aunt, and many others in that little church taught me all about Jesus, Noah, Zacchaeus, Moses, and many others. And what I can say is I do not remember many sermons growing up, but what I do remember is those stories that I was taught in Sunday school. The stories about Zacchaeus being a wee little man and all the singings, and it warms my heart now when Grayson and Bennett, when we're singing those little songs, because I know that their foundation is being built. And that's the biggest reason I teach Sunday school today is, you know, I want the young ones to have that foundation built so they go out in this world after they graduate high school and they're in college or other venues of life that they can remember who loves them and they can remember that those little stories and the leaders of the church. Later in my life, I made some mistakes, had plenty of them. Went to my 20s and 30s and not a good area. But my foundation was still there. And I always knew who loved me, and I knew who was there carrying me. A little over 3 years ago, I found myself on my knees, surrendering myself and everything I knew to Christ. I began reading and studying the Bible daily, listening to sermons and praying. I found myself talking to Jesus all day, every day, to even now. I try to surround myself with the Word, whether it's at work, home, or any place I go. No matter how many times I mess up, I know He's still there with open arms. I'm currently teaching the 7th and 8th graders. I'm active in the youth as much as possible. I've enjoyed the trips to Ridgecrest and other things. My adult Sunday school class is the Koinonia class, and I've learned so much with Jason and Lori teaching that class and Cecilia and others. I've also enjoyed helping the Baptist men's when I was able to. I'm proud to accept this honor of being a deacon and sharing the word with others. My understanding of a deacon is serving at whatever capacity is needed. People like Raymond, Jeff, Jason, Bob, Joseph Alexander, and many others are the reason I love this church. I've always seen it as a Bible church with strong leaders, and I appreciate that. I'd like to finish this with a verse I read this past week that sat with me. It's in Galatians 2, verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. I look forward to the coming years in serving this church. Thank you.
Good morning. Raymond did give me a time frame in a text this past week and said 5 to 8 minutes. And I'll be honest with you all, I panicked a little bit. I'm 35, almost 36, and that's a long time of life, of living in the church, to have to boil down your Christian walk and what a deacon means to you in 5 to 8 minutes. But when I thought about it over this past week, I boiled it down to one word. I boiled it down to family. First, and obviously to those of us in the church, God the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. And then going beyond that, my family. I grew up in a Christian home. My parents were praying for me before I was born, before I was conceived. They raised my brother and I up in the church, and they raised us with a passion for Christ that was just amazing. It stuck with me through my entire life. Some of my earliest recollections were my baptism. I don't remember my exact age, but it was probably around 7 years old. And my father was able to baptize me in an outdoor pool on a chilly spring morning. I remember it vividly, as much for the symbology of what it was and what I was committing to, as much as anything else. Moving beyond that, my next recollection are Friday night meetings that my parents would have with their friends and others in the church. They'd bring my brother and I along, and they would let us go play while they sang songs and hymns and praise, and then have their Bible study. But I remember often I would just kind of sit nearby, always out of sight, never hardly with the group itself. But I would listen, and I would learn, and I would absorb. And some of those people in that group are still some of my strongest spiritual mentors. Looking back into meeting my wife, Bonnie, we met in college, and then we found a church in our college town, and we continued that experience of church and worship. When we moved here almost 8 years ago, it'll be 8 years ago this summer, remember walking into the recreation service when we were in Smith Hall with the old alcove area there. And the first person who came up to greet us, I remember it very vividly, was Raymond. He came and introduced himself, welcomed us, made us feel welcome, brought us into this church family. They very quickly allowed us as a family to join in with, whether it be working the sound system during the recreation service or eventually stepping into the praise band for a time. Now they've allowed me the great pleasure and joy of helping lead our young generation, our young men and RAs. And John Cobble will tell you it's amazing to see the steps. They may be slow, but you see them in these young men as you lead them. So my Christian walk has been one of almost 36 years now. But as these three others have told you, it's continual for me. And when asked what it means to be a deacon, it's all about service. Like Brad, I have been on the ballot a number of times and not been elected. And somebody comes up to me every time and says, "Well, I'm sorry." And I tell them, "No, I'm not sorry. This is not the time. This is not God's timing." But I was able to go and do other things within this church. I was able to serve. So for me, being a deacon is just a natural step, but it's not who defines me. That title does not define me as a Christian. It's just another natural step within the church, within the body of Christ. I don't have to be a deacon. It's an honor. It's humbling. Don't misunderstand. It is very humbling. But even if I weren't a deacon, service in the church, not just this physical body of people, but the church in a whole, is key to me. And that's my story. And it's continuing, and it will continue. So, and I appreciate the faith and the prayers. We covet your prayers as we go forward. So, thank you.
As part of our installation, I want to invite you to follow along with me as we go through our covenant of commitment. It's printed in your order of service, and there'll be various aspects to it. And as we begin that, I want to ask those who have just spoken, who are to be ordained, if you would stand, please, and respond appropriately. You've been elected by your church family to serve as a deacon. Today, we have come to formally ordain you to the office. Before we proceed, we would like to hear your intentions concerning the fulfillment of this responsibility. Do you believe in your heart that you are truly called according to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ to the ministry of a deacon? Will you fulfill the duties and responsibilities of the office of a deacon, some of which are being a fellow servant of Christ with the pastor and the church, setting an example of moral uprightness and dedication to the will of God, being a leader with pastor and seeking to fulfill the mission of the church, and seeking to build harmony in the life and the ministries of the church? Will you seek to be a person of faith and vision, always open to opportunities for witness and fresh ways of ministry and service as God may lead? Would you continue standing, please? I want to invite those who are being newly installed to join those who are being ordained, please. If you would stand and reply appropriately. You've been elected to serve as deacon at College Park also. You have declared your willingness to serve, and I ask your assent to the following questions. Do you reaffirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ and his church? Do you accept the office of deacon in this church and promise faithfully to perform its duties? Do you promise to seek to be open to the Holy Spirit, to be used for the fulfillment of God's purpose for his church, and to cooperate with pastor and members in promoting harmony and effectiveness in all of its ministries? If you would, please continue to remain standing. Do you, who are presently serving as active deacons, reaffirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ and his church? Do you pledge to unite with these new members of the diaconate in faithful service, seeking always to let Christ be lifted up? If so, would you let it be known by joining them in standing, please? And for you, the members of College Park, do you pledge yourselves anew to the person of Christ and to his church? Do you acknowledge these new persons as deacons? Do you promise to encourage and pray for them in their office and to cooperate with them in the fulfillment of the missions of the church? If so, would you please join them in standing? As your brother in Christ and as your pastor, I charge you, the candidates, and you, the wonderful members of College Park, to remember the covenant we've made with each other today and to carry out these promises faithfully as God gives us wisdom and God gives us strength. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated, please. We're going to enter into a time now of laying on of hands. And for those of you not familiar with the practice, it is an ancient practice within the church. There's nothing strange or mystical, really, about this experience. It's an opportunity, really, for the blessing and the encouragement and the prayer of those who have been through this experience as well. So, Michael, if you and Phil would go ahead and take your places there on the bench, kneeling there. For the sake of our purposes this morning, I want to ask your patience in something. A lot of churches and a lot of places I've seen where anybody and everybody that would like to come speak to them is given an opportunity to. What I want to pledge to you is you'll have an opportunity to speak to each of these men at the conclusion of the service. But for the laying on of hands portion of the church, we'd like to limit that with your blessing, please, to those who are previously ordained and or family members. Okay, so what we'll do is have a time of just silence. Teresa, if you would play, and those of you who are ordained, previously ordained as ministers or deacons or family, if you would like to come and speak a word to them, probably best logistically if you come down this aisle here, speak to them, and then exit back to your seats. Would you join in this time now? Thank you. before we started the laying on of hands, if you'll recall, I said there's nothing mystical about what we're doing, but in a very real sense, there's something deeply spiritual about that experience. Having been on the receiving end as well, it is a wonderful blessing to hear from men and women words of encouragement, words of hope and faith. It really is just an incredible experience. And I want you to understand that they're going to need your prayers, because they have openly submitted themselves to God's will in a new direction, in another layer of commitment. And Satan doesn't like that. And Satan will bring full force against them and their families in the days to come. So they're going to need you to partner with them, to pray for them, to encourage them, to be tolerant at times, to be firm at times, as God leads you to be a part of the ministry team that He is continuing to put together in this congregation. I am incredibly hopeful and optimistic and see nothing but great days for College Park ahead. So with your help and with your support, this will be accomplished in these men's lives, as well as the other men and ladies who are deacons, as we all seek to serve this congregation in the kingdom of God. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father, we pray and we dedicate ourselves to you in all of our different capacities, whatever that looks like and in our individual lives. Father, we trust you to lead us both personally and corporately in the ways that you would guide us as the body of Christ to do the work of Christ, which he left us here to complete through the power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we pray that all that we do and say would give glory to you. We do pray especially for those who are newly installed, and especially these who are newly ordained, that you would protect them, that you would constantly remind us to encourage them, to be patient with them, understanding they are growing even as we are growing as well. God, we love you and we trust you for this day and the days in the future as we seek to serve you more completely. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. I want to give you an opportunity to respond to this time of worship together. Our hymn of response is hymn number 601, Teach Me, O Lord, I Pray. I want to ask you, if you have any decision that you would like to make, whether it's first-time profession of faith or rededication or like to be a part of this church, I will give you an opportunity. As we sing this hymn, I'll be here at the front and be glad to speak with you. Whatever your decision is, I invite you to make that as we stand and sing together now. want to thank all of y'all for your patience. For those of you who are guests with us, thank you for your patience in allowing us to do what we do on this day. It's a very special time, truly is. Phil and Michael, I want to give to you your certificate of ordination, as well as a Bible. We are a church that believes the preaching, the teaching, the reading of God's Word, and so we give you that Bible. It's an amplified Bible, one of my personal favorites, just to expand your understanding. Phil, for you the same, a certificate of ordination, as well as an amplified Bible. Read those. Let God's Word speak to you and shape you as you continue to grow. To you, the congregation, let me say a personal word, if you'll allow me to. Today on the calendar is a very hard day for my family, but I know of your support because we have felt it, we have heard it, and what we've experienced in joy this morning keeps all of that in perspective and all of that in balance. Amen? Let's pray together. Gracious Father, thank you for this day. Father, for the celebration of these who have said yes, that they will serve you with all that they have and all that they are. God, what a blessing. Thank you for allowing us to be a part of this day in their lives and in our lives collectively as we move forward, seeking to serve you daily. For it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
Go out in peace.